I don't know what y'all call them. You ladies get them, the little sign or whatever. But anyhow, it's on this board and it says, I remember the days that I prayed for what I have now. Boy, God's sure been good.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's take a look at Romans chapter number 9. We'll be all over the place tonight. And we're going to look at several different scriptures, but we're going to stay with our share of my faith. And how many of you's got your testimonies? All right. Turn them in. Let me see them, all right? And I seen just two more hands. We got I'm going to need your testimony. Does anybody have any questions about that? Any questions? Yeah, you definitely got to shorten it by 1,000 words, all right? listen, I know that it says, I know that it says 500 words, but if you do 500 words, the writing, the type is going to be so small. Look at me, everybody listen. I'm not going to read it. And neither will they. All right, and I'm not getting on to you. Don't take that way, Miss Jennifer. But I'm just telling you, when you put 500 words in that little space right there, it looks like a book. And most people won't take the time to read something like that. Let me encourage you. I know we said 500 words, but let me encourage you to get that somewhere around 350. And if you've seen mine, you know, mine is about 375 words, and it's very easy to read. It doesn't look overwhelming at all when you look at it. And remember, we're not giving our life story. We're not giving our life story. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't sit down over coffee, right, with a guy with a Bible. And I'm sorry, I had to throw that in there. I just had to. But anyhow, it doesn't mean that you can't give him the whole spiel, all right? And it really doesn't. We're trying to get this to where we have it on a piece of paper. They can do that, or we can share it. And how long? 1 minute or less, all right? And so we're trying to get it to that point. But that doesn't mean forsake the rest of your testimony, all right? Because there'll be opportunities for you to sit down with somebody and possibly share your testimony in 30 minutes or an hour or whatever. But for the purposes of our brochure and everything, try to get that thing down to around 350, 375 words. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. Any more questions on any of that? And if you need any help, let us know, because we'd love to help you out with that and help you get that structured, all right? We don't want you to be overwhelmed by it or anything like that. If you need to come up here, then you're more than welcome to do so. Yes, ma'am, for the second time. Whichever is easier. You can email it to the church. Email is what I'm hearing. So I don't run this church. They do. Anybody else? Anybody else? Questions? All right. We're going to stay with the theme of it, of the share of my faith. And we were to pray for two different things. We were to pray for, number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And for us to be an effective witness, we're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then that means we're not led by the Holy Spirit. And if we're not led by the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to be thinking spiritual things. Amen. And I find that in my own life, all right? In the times when you're not led by the Holy Spirit, I mentioned me and Dalton at a table and a lady over and over again. It was almost... It was like it was way too obvious, but yet our minds was on something else, and so we missed an opportunity, all right? So the filling of the Holy Spirit needs to be done continually, right? All right, and to do that, we have to have, of course, our prayer needs to be for cleansing, sin, and then forgiveness and all those things, all right? Second, we were going to pray for Bob, all right? So we're going to look at Bob for the next 3 weeks, okay? So Bob was who? A burden, an opportunity, and boldness, all right? So tonight we're going to look at Bob and the first B, which is a burden, okay? And we're going to take that just for a little bit. Next week we'll look at opportunity, and next week, Lord willing, we won't be around, will we? No, I think next week we'll be at that. Following week we'll be at camp. And but we will get back. Maybe Matt can teach on boldness or something like that. All right. All right. So Matt ain't going to be with us, is he? All right. Huh? You are now? So you going with us? Oh, no, you're not? All right. I was told that I had to go and so I can do pancakes. And so anyhow, Miranda said, I said, when y'all doing pancakes Wednesday morning? So anyhow, I'm going to be fixing pancakes for all the youngins because Miranda, who's been married for I don't know how long with 3 kids, apparently don't know how to make pancakes. All right. Or either that's just an excuse. Right. Okay. All right. All right. So Romans chapter number 9, let's take a look. We're going to read 3 verses right here. And what are we talking about? Burden, all right? I want you to listen to what Paul says. So Paul writes to us in the book of Romans, and as we've already mentioned, well, if you've been in my Sunday school class or you've been around here very long, I have taught through Romans not only on Wednesday nights, but I've done it in Sunday school as well. But Paul takes and gets everybody lost in the first few chapters, right? And then he begins to tell us how you and I can get saved, all right? By chapter number 8, we have some of the richest stuff in Scripture that you can read. And we know that all things work together for our good. Remember that? And it's also in those passages of Scripture in Romans chapter number 8. He leads us to a pinnacle. I'm going to read them verses because they're just good. But in Romans chapter number 8 and in verse number, I'm going to start reading in verse number 34. And I'll read down till we get to chapter 9. You ain't got to do this, Michelle. Thank you. All right. But who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Ain't that sounding good? All right. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How awesome is that scripture? I mean, we love that. That's how he ends. He's not ending chapter number 8. Of course, we know that the translators are the ones that divided up the scripture as far as chapter and verse division, and that's not necessarily inspired. But we end with this thought. He takes us to this thought that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then it's like he just switches gears, and we get to Romans chapter number 9, and listen to what he says in verses 1 through 3. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Now, when Paul says this, what he's trying to get a point across is this. What I'm fixing to say to you, I am not lying. I'm not joking about this. All right. He's done taking us to the peak. He said that nothing can separate us from the love of God as somebody that saved. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then he takes us to chapter number 9 and he says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I mean, he is trying to make sure that we understand what he's fixing to say. He truly means. And he's using the Holy Ghost as a witness. He's saying, hey, God can testify to what I'm fixing to say. Verse number 2, he says this, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Does that not sound like a burden? Come on now, help me. I mean, he's just taken us and told us how great God was. He's just taken us to the top and said, hey, nothing can separate. Man, it's exciting. And then he turns around and says, but I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For what? Verse number 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Man, it's one thing to say you have a burden. It's a whole other thing when he says, listen here, I would take eternal damnation for my kinsmen to be saved. He ain't talking about his family. He's talking about the Jews. Now, how many of you know, somebody help me right here, if you're in my Sunday school class, how did the Jews treat Paul? Not good. Followed him around everywhere he went and tried to undo everything God was doing through him. And yet, Paul says, these same people. He said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Now, that's a burden. Say, well, Paul was just speaking out of his head. He didn't mean all of that. Let's go back to verse number 1. Because he said, I promise I'm not lying about this. The Holy Ghost is my witness. I have such a burden for my brethren, the Jews, that I would be accursed from Christ if they would just receive it. Burden. Now we look at our life and we say this. Now I ain't expecting anybody to be Paul, but most of us don't even have enough of a burden for our dearest loved ones, much less the world. Now we know that God loved the world. He loved the world so much he gave the greatest gift that he could ever give. The most precious gift that he could ever give for it. So we know where God's heart is. We know what God loves. Why shouldn't we be burdened for it? Y'all got to help me now. Why shouldn't we be burdened as Paul is? I wrote down every Christian should develop a burden for the lost. Man, we've already talked about it. It ain't natural to care about everybody else. It's natural to care about ourselves. We're wrapped up in ourselves and what we're doing. It's not natural. We're going to have to work at it, right? Amen. So every one of us should develop a burden for the lost. That means you're going to have to work at it. Say, y'all, help me, right? We're going to have to work at it. We should develop a burden for the lost because of the following assertions. We're going to look at 3 of these tonight and we'll be done. All right, I should have a burden for the loss because of what I have. Number 1, I should have a burden for the loss because of what I have or what I possess. Is everybody with me? All right, so when we go to 2 Kings chapter number 6 and 7, and we'll put up some scripture there in just a moment. But as we go to chapter number 6 of 2 Kings, there's a story of Israel, Jerusalem, or Samaria rather, and they are being besieged by the king of Syria. He encamps around the city and basically blockades anything from getting in or getting out. And so there's a great famine in the city of Samaria. So much so that these people are literally, this is in the story in 2 Kings chapter number 6 at the end of it, there's 2 women that make a pact together. They said, today we will eat your son and tomorrow we'll eat the other. And so the woman comes to the king and she says, hey, we made this deal and I and this woman, we said that we would eat each other's children. And yesterday we boiled my child and ate him. And now she has hid her child from us. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to see how dire these people were. They were in a place of famine. They had nothing to eat. And if they didn't eat, they were going to die. And it got so bad that they were eating one another's children. The king, he rent his clothes, put on sackcloth, and he walked the walls of Samaria. The people seen him crying out. And Elisha said, by tomorrow, you're going to have plenty. You're going to have plenty. You're going to have so much you ain't going to be, man, it's going to be, food is going to be cheap. Well, anyhow, there were some lepers. Some lepers were sitting by the gate, and they said, hey, we're going to die anyhow. They won't let us in there. We might as well go over to the Syrians. Maybe they'll give us some food, feel sorry for us. If not, they'll kill us, but either way, we're going to die. And so they take off to go to the encampment of the Syrians, and when they get there, nobody's there. Nobody is there. And so they start plundering through tents, and they're pulling out gold and silver, and they got food, all the food they can eat. All the Syrians are gone. Turns out that God caused this great noise in the night, scared all the Syrians, and they ran and left everything to get away from whatever was coming after them. These lepers, they were enjoying the spoil, and they got to thinking, you know what? What about our brethren? What about those in the city that are starving so bad that they're eating their own children? What about those that are in the city that don't have any food, no water? They don't have the basic needs that they should have. And here we are with this great gift, more than we could possibly use up in a lifetime. And so in 2 Kings chapter number 7 and verse number 8 and 9, it says this, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Now look at this verse of number 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Now this story seems very simple, and it ain't, say, preacher, what has it got to do with sharing my faith? The fact is you and I have been given a very great treasure. You and I have been given something, God. We have in our possession a very great treasure that others are seeking. Others want it. We have what they are looking for. They want peace in their life. They want to go through life and have fulfillment because it's empty and they're searching for something to fill the void, and you and I have it. Just like the lepers, y'all got to help me tonight. Just like the lepers, you and I have a great gift that's been given to us. And others are seeking it. We have what they are seeking. Not only that, but we have what they need. Even though they don't know they need it. Y'all got to help me. Man, there's people out there searching for all kind of stuff. They're drinking their way through life, trying to fill this void, trying to make it ease the pain of what's going on. And you and I have in our possession, if we're saved, what they need. I got to develop a burden for the lost. Why? Because of what I have. We have what they're looking for. We have what they need, even though they don't even know they need it. We have what they need, and we have what they will perish without. Does it bother you that the people that you work with, some of them are going to burn in hell? Does it bother you that the neighbors that live around you, some of them are going to die and go to hell? Does it bother you that the people in the restaurants that you know by name because you go in there so much, are possibly going to die and go to hell? Does it bother you that you have family, you have friends that are going to die and go to hell? And you have what they need. You have the very thing that they need to avoid perishing. I have got to develop a burden. It's got to be more about a soul than a body. I don't know where I read this today, but it was good. I can't even remember. I probably messed this whole thing up. But it was talking about, it was a preacher, and he was talking about getting focused on the soul and not the body, because the soul is a greater thing. The body will perish, but the soul is a greater part. It never perishes. And if we get focused on the soul instead of the body, then all the afflictions of the body will seem real small. We've got to develop a burden for the lost. Number one, because of what we have. Let me ask you this. Do you realize what you have in your possession tonight? Do you understand? I think y'all, do you understand what you have in your possession? According to Paul, you have the power of God unto salvation. You and I hold that. I have in my possession the power of God unto salvation. Not some power of God unto salvation or a power of God unto salvation, but the power of God unto salvation. Do you realize that God entrusted you with that? God entrusted you with that and then said, go and share it with others. If God entrusted me with that and said, go and share it with others, then I've got to develop a burden for others. Because of, number one, what we have. Number two, because of what we see. I got to develop a burden for the lost because of the second assertion, and that is what we see. Because of what we have in our possession and because of what we see in other people. Lamentations chapter number 3, verse number 51 said, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. My eye, does everybody hear? We're talking about what we see. My eye affecteth mine heart. Come on, y'all. Tell me you can look at this world and not feel sorry for it. Now, you got to get past all the anger that you have for it. But tell me you don't look and feel sorry for it. Mine eye affecteth my heart because of all the daughters of my city. So we see because of what we see in other people. Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 36. Let's see how Jesus did it. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes. Help me, everybody help me read this next part. He was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because of what he seen. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You go look at that passage of scripture, you'll find out, you look at other passages of scripture, you'll find out that those around Jesus didn't have the same perception that he did. A lot of times they were like us telling him, send them away. tell them to go home. It's too much work to take care of this. Send them away. But yet, Jesus had compassion. Let's just do it like this. I sure am thankful that when Jesus seen me, he had compassion, even though there was probably plenty that was saying, just send him away. Y'all know my testimony. I was so rebellious that it was almost like I was trying to get back at the church. I had a sign, I had a tag on the front of my truck that had cussing all over it. I'd park it right at the front church, right in the front doors. You come out of the church and there it was, staring you in the face. Men in the church go to the preacher and say, can't you make him move? And preacher say, no, I ain't messing with him. People in the church didn't want nothing to do with me. Sure, I'm glad that God had compassion on me. Somebody else in here is like that too. You was as rebellious as they come. And they was probably a bunch of church folks that didn't want nothing to do with you, but God had compassion on you. God said, I'll take him. When nobody else, oh, y'all better hear me tonight. I'm starting to feel a little something now. Bible says in Luke chapter number 19, verse number 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city or looked upon the city, and then he wept over it. You know, I mentioned just a few moments ago that you can't look at this, you can't look at our country, you can't look at our community, you can't look at anywhere, you can't look outside your door and not feel sorry for it. But I said this, you got to get past the what? The anger, right? But look at what Jesus did. When he beheld the city, he wept over it. A burden. You know, there's too many Christians that are angry about everything that's going on in the world that are missing the burden. I said that for a reason, because I get caught up in that mess too. Every time I look at how much my gas costs me, I get caught up in that mess and I get very mad about things and the way they've gone on. Every time I go to the grocery store and you can't find this, you can't find that, or you want to buy this and it's so expensive. Every story I hear about all the money the government is giving everybody else except me. Is everybody all right? Am I the only one that doesn't get anything from the government? I need some help, all right? Yeah, I mean, we're sitting there watching the people that are paying taxes and working so hard and everything else. We're sitting there watching other people with full grocery carts going up there and checking out with a card that somebody give them of my taxes that I paid in. Meanwhile, I'm having to take about one-third of my grocery cart because I can't afford the full thing. I need somebody to help me. It's easy to get angry. But when Jesus beheld the city, what did he do? He wept over it. He looked on them and had a burden. Boy, one of the hardest things to look at that person over there that's getting all that for free while you working and doing all this other thing and say, you know what? I'm glad they're getting something, because I sure hate for their family to go hungry because they didn't have no. Oh, y'all got the help, man. I'll just move on from that. Because of what we see. What do we see? We see blinded sinners. Blinded sinner. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We live in a world where the sinner is blinded. Blinded by the God of this world. Listen to this. I wrote this down. Every man is doing that which is right in their own eyes. We've lost the biblical standard. We no longer live in a Christian nation. Right now, sinners are being blinded to the truth. They're being told that those that have the gospel are the enemy. Y'all got to hear me now. Am I telling it right or am I telling it wrong? I mean, everything on TV, I don't know how much y'all watch TV and stuff, but I like watching them FBI shows, all right? And the FBI is as corrupt as there is. I promise you it is. But you watch them shows, and man, every time they're going after somebody that's religious, they show them as an extremist. They show somebody that's preaching the gospel and killing people. And I'd like to testify that as long as I've lived, I've never met anybody in the Baptist church that's pulled a gun out and went to killing mass killing. That's right. I need y'all. Are you hearing me? They're blinded to the truth. What they need, they don't recognize, because everything in the world's telling them that you and I are extremists. And we see this happening in our society. How much do you think Jesus is needed today? We need to develop a burden for the lost because of what we see. We see blinded sinners. We see hurting people. How many families you know have been affected by sin, been affected by divorce, been affected by you name it? These people are hurting. How many wives are sitting in a house alone wondering what in the world went wrong with their marriage and they need somebody to fill the void? But nobody's telling them about Jesus, and so they move on to the next man. And then the next man, and then the next man. And while he's moving on from the next woman to the next, why? Because they're looking for something that you and I have, but we're not willing to share. People are hurting. Broken homes, lives ravaged by sin, children caught in the middle. Grew up in this kind of environment. One parent pitting the child against the other one. Your daddy this, and your mama that. Your daddy this, and your mama that. Kids in a yo-yo. Not sure who they can trust. By the way, if you're taking part in that, sooner or later that kid is going to figure out, just like I did and most of the other kids in here that had to go through that mess, that you're a liar and you can't be trusted. Oh, you setting yourself up for a fall because of what we see. Blinded sinners, hurting people, empty churches. Empty churches. Look around you on a Wednesday night. Our church ain't empty, but it ain't full either. But I guarantee you there's ball fields that are full tonight. I guarantee you there's ball fields that are full tonight. Your jumping jacks or whatever it is full tonight. Movie theaters will be full tonight. Restaurants will be full tonight. Y'all help me. But it's too much to ask people to come to church in the middle of the week. It's extremists. We got people in here who want to be, not in here necessarily, but we got people in our church who want to be leaders in our church and can't even come on Wednesday night. Can't show up for Sunday school. Show up for Sunday morning. Think they're doing the world a favor by being here. We're living in a world. We can see people are dying and going to hell. We need, is everybody help? We better get a burden for the lost. I'm not going to read this illustration. Well, I will. July Barna, president, or the Barna president, David Kinnaman, indicated that as many as 20% of churches could close within the next 18 months. Even before the pandemic, Barna reported that Americans were church hopping and church attendance was declining among young people. The July Barna report stated that one in three practicing Christians has stopped attending church, whether online or in person. That happened. Very much so. Before the pandemic, our numbers in the auditorium were around 300, not counting what we had out there in children. Now, with everything, after all of this and everything that's gone, everybody's coming back, this, that, and the other, our highest Sundays are only around 275 on the whole property. People ain't come back. Churches are emptying. Says the final struggle that churches were encountering was part of the reasoning behind, or financial struggle rather, that churches are encountering was part of the reasoning behind Kinnaman's estimate that one in five churches will close in the next 18 months. It's crazy to think that in the Bible Belt that we've gotten so far away. I need somebody to help me. We'd expect the kind of numbers and this kind of stuff to happen somewhere else, but we are literally in the Bible Belt. Let's go to the last one. We'll be done tonight. We need to develop a burden for the lost because of what we know. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, 9 through 11 says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Who's that talking about? Who? Christians, all right? That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Do you realize that you and I should develop a burden because of what we know? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Have you ever read your Bible and thought, man, I sure am glad I live in an age of grace. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. What are we supposed to do? Persuade men. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. Knowing that God will punish sin. Knowing what God did to Christ on that cross. Remember Sunday? Sunday we was in Isaiah. And what did the Bible say? God has smitten him.
Right.
Knowing what God did to his dearest son,
right,
we should persuade men. We should persuade men. We know the guarantee of eternal punishment. We know the guarantee of the eternal punishment. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 15, the great white throne of judgment, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We should have a burden for the lost because of what we know. We know the guarantee of eternal punishment. We know the length of eternal punishment. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever is not found and written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We know the guarantee of eternal punishment. We know the length of eternal punishment. And we know the horror of eternal punishment. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't want to be there. I want nobody gnashing on me with some teeth. Mark 9:43-48. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter in the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Man, I had to go look. What is this worm dieth not? Dalton, come get on the piano. What is this worm that dieth not? And man, I read this. It says their worm is their peculiar remorse for the evils they did and for the grace they rejected. While the fire, the state of excruciating torment, is common to all of us. Their worm, each one of us, each person has a particular worm. I got thinking about that thing. Part of the torments of hell is going to be existing throughout all eternity and knowing how many opportunities God gave you to get it right. How many times you rejected. Oh, I need somebody to hear me. Somebody in this building tonight, if you die and go to hell, you're going to hear my voice. You're going to hear God's word. You're going to hear parts of this sermon. You and I have got to develop a burden for the lost. It can't be, let's just go to church and all be buddies and have fellowship and be friends. That's not why we were left here. We've got to develop a burden for the lost because of what we have in our possession. Because of what we see in other people. And because of what we know about our precepts. So tonight, the question for all of us is, are you burdened for the lost? If you're not, you ain't going to get that way sitting in a seat. So let's take some time around the altar tonight if we need to. Service is over. It's 8:15. You ain't got to look at your watch. I'll tell you what time it is. Got plenty of time. You normally don't get out of here till 8:30. That means you got 15 minutes of prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me encourage you. Let's get a burden. It's going to have to develop. Come thank God for what you have. Come thank God for what you know. Get burdened for what you see. Heads bowed with me. I'll ask a question while folks are coming to the altar tonight. Knowing what we know. And now knowing what you know tonight. Are you certain where you'd spend eternity? You're placing your faith and trust in anything that you've done, you're going to die and go to hell. Jesus said, I am the way. And he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. So tonight, if you don't know where you'd spend eternity if you was to die, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look right up at me. Serious time. Is there anybody like that in the building? Say, preacher, I do not know. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, I thank you for people that was burdened for me and my family. I thank you for preachers that knocked on our door. I thank you for church members that shared the gospel. Thankful for a lady that invited my mom to church. Thankful for a deacon's wife who led my wife to the Lord. Thankful for a Christian wife who kept me best as she could connected to church. Burden for her husband. Burden for her family. God, I pray that you give us that burden. I pray for that burden. I pray for that burden on the leaders of our church. I pray for that burden on the people that come here and enjoy our services. God, may we see this world and weep over it. Get past the anger, resentment, the bitterness, and weep for them. Desiring, Lord, to share what we know. Desiring to share what we have. God, I pray, help us to be a witness.